Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning, liturgically, we're in the fifth Sunday in Easter, and the arc of the Easter season is such that the first few Sundays in Easter we're celebrating the miracle of Christ's resurrection. But as we get closer to Pentecost, we begin to focus on the preparation for receiving the gift of the Spirit, for preparing for life in Christ as we long for his second coming. And there's no better place to go to meditate on these things than in John chapters 14 to 17. Jesus is with his disciples the night before he dies, and he's preparing them for his departure. John chapter 14 starts, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going away," Jesus said, "to prepare a place for you, but I will come back." And so he's preparing the disciples for his departure. Now in today's text from John chapter 14, starting in verse 15 and it goes through verse 21, there are three things that I would like to draw out. And not surprisingly, they may have something to do with how marriage can be understood and experienced, not only with Megan and Tyler, but with all of us as a community. So the first thing to get across from this text is the connection between love in word and love in deed. We start off by hearing Jesus say, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." In verse 21, the final verse, Jesus says, "Those who keep my commandment, those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me." And so he's reminding us that love in word and love in deed must be connected. And this is a message that our culture is desperately in need of. We often associate love with a sentimental feeling. Now, don't get me wrong, the sentimental feeling associated with love is really awesome. I'm in favor of it. Let's have more. But at the end of the day, the sentimental feeling will not get you where you need to be when it comes to love. The sentimental feeling will not get a disciple of Jesus to the place where they say to the Roman authorities, "Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not, take me to the Colosseum." The sentimental love that we celebrate so much in our culture will not get a man and a woman to their 60th wedding anniversary. Love in word and love in deed must be united. But what Jesus shows us is that in himself is the key to understanding what that looks like. Because as St. Paul writes to the Romans, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Later on in this high priestly prayer of Jesus, the night before he died with his disciples, he tells them, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." And so we find that Christian discipleship is a process of laying down our life. We find that Christian marriage is a process of laying down our life for our spouse. And that's the kind of relationship into which Megan and Tyler are coming today. And if you are married today, it's the kind of relationship that God desires for you as well. The kind of relationship that allows us to lay down our life for one another. But we find that this is not an easy thing to do, and it may even be impossible to do. And so that gets us to our second point, the coming of the Paraclete. Jesus says, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you," in our text today, "another advocate." That Greek word that's translated as advocate there is the word paraclete. Can be translated counselor, comforter, helper. It's interesting that Jesus says another paraclete, as though there has been a paraclete, and that paraclete is him. In 1 John, we read that if anyone sin, we have an advocate, a paraclete, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And so you hear on one hand this human tenderness from Jesus, I'm not going to leave you alone. You will not be abandoned. You will not be an orphan. I'm going to send the paraclete. And it's because of the paraclete's work in our lives that we are able to become the kind of people that love like Jesus calls us to love. This is not something that we do on our own. We become the kind of people who are able to love not only in word, but also in deed. By learning, again, to use St. Paul's language, what it means to walk in the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. And in this mystical language that John is fond of using, we see that the Spirit is with us, the Spirit will be in us. And so the resources to love in word and in deed come from within, but only because the Holy Spirit is alive in us and delights to work through us. And so the process of learning to love in deed as well as word is a process of learning what it means to allow the Holy Spirit to be released from us onto the other. Whether it's our spouse, whether it's our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, or even our enemies. Christian discipleship is the process of allowing the paraclete to come alive in and through us in such a way that we would love not only in word, but also in deed. The final point to make here is an eschatological point. Where is this headed? This is what Jesus says in verse 20. On that day, and scholars are divided on this. Some scholars say this is talking about Easter when Jesus comes back from the dead. But other scholars, and I tend to agree with them, says this is Jesus talking about the second coming, the parousia, when Jesus comes and the kingdom is in its fullness experienced. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. This mystical union between the members of the Trinity is a union into which we are invited. And so you see the power of this image of God himself, the one God in whom we believe, we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These distinct persons among the Trinity in perfect relationship, in perfect love. And out of their perfect relationship, out of their perfect love, comes life and new life. And there's no greater image for this than a man and a woman coming together and out of their union issuing forth new life. But all of our relationships that are rooted in the truth of who Jesus Christ is ought to take for their model the Trinitarian model of perfect love, of perfect submission, of honoring and glorifying the other, of taking the role of a servant. The theologians in the early church had a name for this, perichoresis, inner penetration among the members of the Trinity, moving this way and that way. And the mystery of a husband and wife becoming one flesh hints at that kind of a union. But that kind of a union doesn't happen automatically. It happens over time. In the words of our friend Jamie Smith, love takes practice. And so it is as a Christian community. This is the field on which we learn what it looks like to love, not only in word, but also in deed. And when Megan and Tyler make these vows to one another in just a minute, they are going to create space within this covenantal relationship for them to learn what it means to love not only in word, but also in deed. And hopefully over the course of 50, 60, maybe even 73 years like former President Bush and his wife Barbara enjoyed together. Over the course of those decades, there'll be all sorts of time to practice what it looks like to love, not only in word, but also in deed. But it will only happen to the extent that Megan and Tyler, that each of us, allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts in such a way that we become the kind of people that are free to love well. And that only happens when we have a vision of the end, when we ourselves will be caught up into that perfect love relationship with the very members of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so if we have that vision of the end, of us joining that dance of the Trinity, then it'll allow us to begin to lean into those relationships in our lives, whether they're the relationships with our spouses or, again, our families, our coworkers, our neighbors, or even those from whom we're deeply divided, that the members of the Trinity are always issuing forth new life, always issuing forth creativity. And that's what we celebrate when we allow a man and a woman to stand in our presence and make these vows and declare God's blessing on them. So wherever you are today in your own life with the Lord, I want you to understand this, that big picture, what God wants for us is to be in that perfect love relationship with Him. That where we're headed is a place where we're in perfect relationship with God, and issuing from that is perfect relationship with one another. And so what Megan and Tyler are going to do today is make a covenant with one another, to promise to one another that they are going to exclusively learn what that love looks like over the course of decades. And we're here to bear witness to what God is doing in them. But I hope that for each of us, we're able to experience the presence of God in such a way that we would long for that. We would long for that depth of relationship with Him, and that would issue forth in that depth of relationship for one another. And then that would lead us to long for the presence of the Paraclete in our own hearts to make us the kind of people that can do that. And so as we continue to worship this morning, know that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are in our midst, and they're working and they're longing for each one of us to come to them. Amen.